little hard to believe that it is already the first Sunday of Lent, but here we are with the first sermon in our new preaching series, which is called Let Love Rise. This series is inspired by Jesus' own use of the image of bread to describe himself. In the Gospel of John, he called himself the bread of life. And at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This Lent, we're going to explore what it means that Jesus is the bread of life for us. We're going to slow down and take in the whole process of making bread to see how it connects with the spiritual preparation of Lent. We'll reflect together on how God is planting, harvesting, milling, mixing, and rising in our lives. And as we let God's love rise in us, we'll also discern how God might be calling us to share that love in the world. Today we're starting with the parable of the sower in the Gospel of Luke. The parable of the sower is one of only six parables that are found in all three synoptic Gospels. Those are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Luke, the parable comes toward the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing. He has called disciples and chosen apostles. He's made space in his circle for outcasts and for sinners. Many, many people have been drawn to him, but others have found his message and his ministry to be offensive, blasphemous even. The crowds that gather around him are a mix of faithful followers and very critical questioners. Within this context, we can see how Jesus uses the parable of the sower to explain how the good news of the gospel takes root in some people, but not in others. Not everyone is ready to receive the seeds of the kingdom that God is sowing in the world. So as we begin our journeys through the season of Lent, let us pray for our hearts to provide good soil for the word of God to grow and flourish. And let's listen now to the parable of the sower, as told to us in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. When a great crowd gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell on the path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Then his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones on the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe only for a while, and in a time of testing, they fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But as for that in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Our middle hymn this morning, you will find printed in the bulletin. The words are sung to a familiar tune. You will notice it as the tune that we sing when we sing, O God, our help in ages past, but we are singing some new words. And if you are worshiping with us from home, those words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us. Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My friend Lori is a pastor in Carmel, Indiana, which is a suburb that is located just north of Indianapolis. And a few years ago, her church took a leap of faith, one similar to a leap of faith that we took, and they decided to start a community garden. So when spring rolled around and the ground had thawed out enough, they marked off a portion of their church lawn and dug up the grass to prepare the soil for planting. Then they chose a few different crops and carefully placed the seeds in the ground, eagerly envisioning a robust harvest as the plants took root and began to grow. But nothing seemed to go as planned. Their garden certainly did not take root in the ways that the food pantry garden did here at Old South. The church members in Carmel who so eagerly supported the garden never seemed to show up to tend it. And the plants, they never really flourished. The harvest was meager, the yield rather unimpressive. So at the end of the summer, the church decided to abandon ship on that grand experiment. They dug up all the plants and threw them in a compost pile behind the church, and everyone just dusted off their hands and walked away. But a couple of months later, a church member came running into Lori's office and insisted that she come outside to look in the compost pile. Now, before you start worrying that this is the beginning of an NCIS episode, let me tell you that they did not find anything gross or alarming back there. What they discovered in the compost pile was a bumper crop of gourds. Hundreds of them. Like so many that Lori ended up designing a whole worship service around them, a service that ended with a liturgically appropriate but still pastorally pushy invitation for people to take those gourds home so that they could get them out of the church. The community garden certainly did not go as planned, but it bore fruit in ways no one ever would have imagined. In today's scripture reading, we heard the familiar parable of the sower. It might as well be called the parable of the soils, because that is what we usually focus on, right? We often use this parable to think of people falling into different categories, determining whether people are path people or rocky ground people or thorn people or good soil people. And of course, we like to think that we are good soil people. Though if we're honest, we're probably a mix of different kinds of soil depending on the week or the day or the hour. And it's certainly worthy of our time and our attention to prepare our hearts and our souls to be good soil for the word that God is planting within us. In some ways, that's what the season of Lent is all about. It's about tending to our hearts and our lives, to throw away the rocks, to weed out the thorns, to remove all the things that might hold us back from fully living out our faith. That kind of internal spiritual work is certainly worthy of our attention in the weeks ahead. But we also need to remember that Lent is not only an opportunity to look deep into ourselves. It's also an opportunity to look out into the world. And to do that, I think it helps if we draw our attention back to the main character of the parable we just read. We do call it the parable of the sower, after all. It's interesting to me that the sower doesn't seem to be a very good farmer or a very smart business person. He doesn't till the ground and carefully prepare the soil for planting. He doesn't place the seeds in perfect rows and then carefully water them every day. No, he just flings the seed anywhere and everywhere. He's my kind of farmer, really. The sower throws the seed not only onto good soil, but also onto hard ground and rocks and thorns. In one way, it seems like such a waste. Why would Jesus tell a story about a sower who sows seeds so recklessly? I think maybe that's the whole point. Maybe he does it to remind us that God's ways are not our ways. Maybe he does it to remind us that God's vision for the world doesn't always make sense to us. It certainly doesn't always go according to our plans. Maybe he tells this parable to remind us that God's kingdom doesn't take root only in good soil, but it also can find ways to take root in the midst of the rocky and barren and broken places in our lives. I think Jesus uses this parable to give us a window into the goodness of our God. Jesus tells us of a ridiculously wasteful farmer who plants with crazy abandon so that we can get just a hint of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is a place where God's love and God's grace are scattered with equal abandon, with no regard for how any of it will be received. I love what Professor and Pastor David Loess says. It's as if God just can't help but share love and grace and mercy, and God will do so recklessly, even wastefully, because God alone knows that grace is never exhausted and love can never be wasted. Can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine living and loving with such reckless abandon? I bet you already do. In the love and care you give to a child or a grandchild, a sibling or a parent, a life partner or a best friend. But even though we have moments where we give of ourselves selflessly, even recklessly, most of the time, it can be hard for us to imagine living with such abandon, giving with so little thought of the return. Because the world teaches us to be more careful, to avoid undue risk, to protect ourselves from harm. Yet Jesus reminds us in his teachings and in his life that love does not know the way of safety and grace cannot keep itself vulnerable from risk. So friends, we are called to do as Jesus did. We are called to give generously, to serve selflessly, to love recklessly, to live faithfully. We are called to let the love of God rise in us, to let the love of God fill us to overflowing, and then to scatter that love into the world with reckless abandon. We are called to keep scattering that love on all the people around us, no matter who they are. We are called to keep sowing that love in all the places we go, trusting that God's kingdom can take root, even in ways we could never plan for or even imagine. So this Lent, we hope you will embrace this season as a time to look in and as a time to look out. Use this season as a time to do the work in your own heart and in your own life so that the Word of God can find good soil there to grow and flourish. But also use this season as a time to scatter seeds of love and grace all around. Reverend Brian preached such a great sermon on Ash Wednesday in which he reminded us of God's desire for us to make love and justice real in the world. So whether you are giving something up this Lent or maybe taking a practice on, maybe you can also think about how you can give something away. Give of your time or your talents or your resources to really help people choose a cause about which you feel great passion and dedicate something of yourself to making the world a better place. And if you are worried about whether the time or talent or treasure you invest in the world is going to the right people or the right places or the right organizations, maybe it's helpful to remember that God doesn't seem particularly concerned about where his seeds land. God just keeps sowing. God keeps sowing seeds of goodness and grace and light and life and love in every nook and cranny of this world. So may we have the faith and the courage to do the same, planting seeds of love and justice with reckless abandon, because you just never know where God's kingdom will take root. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn today is "Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts." You'll find it in your hymnal if you're here in the sanctuary, and if you're worshiping with us from home, the words will be dropping into the comments so that you can sing along with us.